Hello, you're listening to the free edition of The World in Brief from The Economist. As a reminder, if you subscribe to The Economist, you'll get access to a deeper look at the day ahead, updated three times a day. If you're already an Economist subscriber, visit economist.com/espresso or visit our Espresso app to start listening. Here's today's free edition. This is The World in Brief from The Economist. Our top stories. OPEC and its allies decided not to change their production targets as the cartel of oil-producing states waits to ascertain the impact of a new Western price cap on Russian crude. On Friday, diplomats from the EU, the G7 and Australia agreed to cap Russian oil at $60 per barrel in an attempt to squeeze Russia's revenues. Russia said it, quote, will not accept the cap, though admitted that it had prepared for it. Volodymyr Zelensky, Ukraine's president, called the policy, quote, weak, saying it would not cause, quote, serious damage to Russia. There were reports that Iran was considering abolishing its morality police. Many observers were skeptical. But if true, it would be a sign that the government may be bowing to ongoing protests. The unrest started in September after Mahsa Amini, a 22-year-old woman, died in custody, having been arrested for violating the country's dress code. On Saturday, Iran's Attorney General, Mohammad Jafar Montazeri, said Parliament was reviewing a law requiring women to wear a hijab. Ursula von der Leyen, President of the European Commission, said that the EU must, quote, adapt its state aid rules in the face of American climate legislation. European leaders fear that America's Inflation Reduction Act, which offers subsidies worth nearly $400 billion for green industries, will draw investment away from the EU. During Emmanuel Macron's visit to America last week, Joe Biden said that, quote, tweaks could be made to the legislation to allay European concerns. Demonstrators in Syria attacked and set on fire the governor's office in the southern city of Sweda. Heavy gunfire was reported during the incident. Earlier, hundreds of people had gathered outside the office, protesting against spiraling prices, hunger and economic hardship, demanding the resignation of the president, Bashar al-Assad. The civil war, in particular, resulted in a severe contraction of the economy. Urumqi, the capital of the Xinjiang region in northwest China, announced a lifting of COVID restrictions after unprecedented protests against the government's zero COVID policies. The city, where the wave of protests initially began, will reopen malls, restaurants, markets, and some other venues from Monday. Other Chinese cities have recently eased restrictions as well in response to the popular unrest. A volcano has erupted on Indonesia's main island, Java, prompting the evacuation of almost 2,000 people as authorities issued a high-level alert. Injuries have not immediately been reported, but residents were warned to keep 8 kilometers from Mount Semeru, as it blasted clouds of ash and poured streams of lava. Indonesia experiences frequent volcanic activity. Semeru last erupted 1 year ago, killing 51 people. Football World Cup. After a group stage punctuated by a series of extraordinary upsets, the first matches of the knockout round did not provide any shocks. England beat Senegal, whose star, Sadio Mane, is out of the tournament. And France, inspired by Kylian Mbappe, cruised past Poland. And fact of the day, 607, the amount of gold in tons that central banks brought from January to September. That's The World in Brief from The Economist. You can hear interviews and analysis from our journalists, including our current affairs podcast, The Intelligence, by searching for The Economist on your podcast app or by asking your smart speaker to play the latest Economist podcast. To enjoy all of our journalism, including the full version of The World in Brief and each week's full edition in audio, please consider taking out a subscription. To get the best introductory offer wherever you are around the world, just go to economist.com/briefingoffer.